convinced that the Lord that we serve this morning is a God who has power. And he has power over sickness. He has power over diseases. He has power over darkness and loneliness and depression. And I want you to be a part of that. And if you're in here struggling with any of those things, know that what we experience in Jesus Christ and what he wants us to experience in Jesus Christ is not partial, but it's full joy. Absolutely full. The top is at the top. He wants us to know it all. And I think that, and I know for certain that he wants us to know this in the midst of what you're going through, real life. Always compelled to remind us of that, because I live in the same world that you live in. And having said that, I ask that you turn in your Bibles to Philippians 2. Next week, we're going to emphasize the sanctity of human life, but this week I want to complete some thoughts that I began from last Sunday. We studied from the scriptures in Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes in verse 12 and 13. He says, "Therefore," that is based on what I've said before, "my beloved, as you have always obeyed," here's the issue, that's the issue that we're talking about, obedience. "So now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence," that's what I want you to do, church. He says, "I want you to work out your salvation. I want you to do it with fear, and I want you to do it with trembling." Why? "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." The Apostle Paul is making an urgent request about obedience here. And that's why he says, "as you have always obeyed," there's the crux. And I think it falls back, as we mentioned last week, from chapter 1, verse 27, when he talks about only let your manner of life. The manner of life is your citizenship. You've got to understand that the Bible talks about and uses these very words that if you're a child of God by faith in Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven. You have, yes, you're a citizen of the United States, but more importantly, you're a citizen of heaven. And as you know, as you live in the United States, there are certain laws that are governing our lives. And my friends, there are laws that govern the life of the Christian. Don't be scared of the word laws here, but they're beautiful laws. They're parameters that guide our life. We are citizens of heaven. And he says this about obedience. He says, "I want your manner of life, your citizenship in heaven, be worthy of the gospel of Christ." That is, I want it to balance out. That's what he's talking about. It's faith and obedience, brothers. It's faith and obedience, sisters. It's about cultivation. Obedience is about working out your salvation, working out my salvation. And so this is how we're to live. We're to live in obedience. The first appeal he gives in verse 12 is about obedience, and that is to work out your salvation, because that's what obedience is. It's about us working. And don't be fearful here. We understand this phrase, "work out your salvation." It doesn't talk about the lost man earning something from God. It doesn't talk about the lost man making himself good with God by doing some special deeds. What he must do as a lost man, and the only thing a lost man can do, and what the scriptures require of you, is to repent of your sins, turn away from your sins, have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That his life was vicarious, it was in your substitute, in your stead. His death was vicarious, it was a substitute for you, it was in your stead. And so the Bible commands every sinner to repent and turn to Jesus Christ as the hope of glory, as a hope for your life. But I want you to understand that when Paul writes to this church from a prison house, he writes to the church, not to lost men trying to do something to get right with God. You can't do it outside of repenting. So as you have obeyed, he says, that's why it's an obedience issue. That's why we talk about it's obedience issue. You can't somehow manage to skirt this in the Christian life. I know that a lot of people want Christianity without obedience. But faith and obedience go hand in hand. You can never tear one from the other. You cannot realistically and biblically say that I have genuine faith in Jesus, but at the same time have no life of obedience, active obedience there. You can't say it. You don't even see it in the scriptures. And it doesn't matter how hard your life gets. It doesn't matter how topsy-turvy things are. It doesn't matter how uncertain things are. Jesus says and calls the disciples to obey in the midst of real pain and real suffering and real issues of life. All right? And so this is what we want to understand here, beloved. Follow me if you would. It's an obedience to Christ issue. It's not, and he's writing to the Christians, and he calls them beloved. That's the most endearment term. And then he calls them saints in chapter 1, verse 1. Saints, those who are set apart. People who are set apart are not lost people. So he says, work out your salvation. Christians. If it were about non-Christians trying to earn favor with God, our hymns would be changed. How great I am. Something like that. That's what we'd be singing. And I'm telling you, that will never take place. So he says, beloved, you as Christians, writing to Christians, and there ought to be no fear here, no fear of having to try to find favor with God. The weight's not on your shoulder. The burden is not on you to do something to merit God. It's still all about God's grace. It's still all about the faith in Jesus Christ. It's still all about Jesus Christ, all of that. All of salvation is about grace alone, through faith alone, in one person alone, and that is Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who it is talked about in verses 6 and following when Paul writes, who, though he was in the form of God, that is, he's God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't feel like it was something that he had to hold on to, but he emptied himself. Not, he didn't stop being God. He just gave up the privileges and the rights that he had when he was in the presence of God the Father. And when did he do that? When he became a man, he gave all that up. This God, this Jesus, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming, here's a word, obedient to the point of death. Jesus became obedient. There's the scary word for so many people. Jesus wasn't scared off by it. He came to do the will of the Father and was obedient in every aspect of that. So it's all about grace and faith in Jesus Christ. And so what is he talking about? He's talking about sanctification, that aspect of salvation that talks about the process of holiness. He's talking about salvation, of working it out. An aspect of sanctification is working it out. It's this Monday morning working it out. It's this midweek Wednesday afternoon working it out. It's this Friday afternoon when the week is almost over of working it out. It's this Saturday and this Sunday of working it out. When does it stop? It doesn't. You're working it out, and my working it out as believers doesn't stop. It doesn't begin on the weekend. We don't, or it doesn't end even on the weekend. It's on, because Satan never sleeps. Satan didn't get tired of frustrating you. Satan doesn't get tired of seeking to destroy your life. But I want to tell you something. God never sleeps either. God never sleeps. He never slumbers. And he's more powerful. So this is all about that aspect of salvation that talks about sanctification and the process of making me holy. It's a process of putting away sin. It's a process of living lives that are pure. It's about running. It's about pursuing. It's about fighting. It's about pressing on to holiness and to godliness. And what I've witnessed is that many in churches today have just stopped running, and they stopped pressing and pursuing and fighting. They're not doing it hard, if they're doing it all. You see, when you work something out, Paul uses it in the sense that you do it present tense continually. There's not a point in your Christian life where you say, okay, I've done well here and I can kind of rest and relax, like the weekend is here. You know what the weekend's like. TGIF. I mean, that's real to a lot of people. Oh, don't give me anything to do. I want no phone calls. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to rest. And that's kind of like the Christian life. We want to pursue only to a certain point, and then we kind of want to rest. But we're not, that's not it. That's not the Christian life. So the reason that it's not, because we still have an enemy, and we still have this thing called sin. Sin doesn't rest on the weekend. Sin pursues you probably even more on the weekend because it's Friday. Let's go out, live it up. Let's get dangerous a little bit. What I am saying, we struggle with this sin in our lives, even as Christians. Paul would even say, I do the things that I don't want to do. How many of you, has your sanctification process, your working to be holy towards Jesus this week, has maybe fluttered or just wasn't perfect? Just raise your hand if it wasn't perfect this week. Your sanctification. Some of you are really struggling with whether or not to put your hand up. Why are you struggling? Because, you know, the Bible teaches us if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I'm telling you, it ought to be like you've been shot out of a cannon. We've got both our hands up. I struggled. I struggle in mind and I struggle in disciplines. There's no man without sin. So we struggle with this sin. And so we play an active role in our sanctification. And Paul says we're to work out this salvation. We're not just to sit around. We're not just to let the Holy Spirit just do His thing. We get victory over sin when we pursue victory over sin. I don't know why I'm struggling with that. Well, how hard are you really trying to pursue God in that issue? If it's slothfulness, some sort of disobedience, something in your life, there's something there, and you're thinking, well, how much attention have you given? You say, well, I'm tired of being like that. Well, how much are you pursuing the change? I mean, honestly, how much have you sought God about this issue? How much time have you given in the Word of meditation over this issue? So we're just kind of sitting around. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do its work. Well, guess what? There's an active role you take. It's sanctification. We pursue that holiness. You get there, I get there, by pursuing God. And I pursue God as I read and I meditate the Scriptures and I pray. And apart from that, we can't be holy. You hear me? We want holiness, but we're not even close to putting in the effort to be holy. You say, I don't like that talk of us putting in effort. Well, you've got an issue with the Scriptures. Not with me. Now, we're going to keep a good balance here. But do you really want to be holy? I mean, do you really want to be holy? You do what you want to do. Have you ever figured that out? People do what they want to do. You can cry, plead, beg them, but they're going to do. If they don't want to be faithful, they're not going to be faithful. Doesn't matter what you say. I mean, you think of other people. Think of people I have invited to church and be a part of worship. They do what they want to do. It's what's important to them. And what I am saying to you, God is here. We're pursuing. God's pursuing at the same time. He is a power source for us to overcome sin in our lives. So we pursue holiness. Do you know what this working out your salvation is all about? It's about cultivating soil, as we talked about. It's about managing. You know, you can have somebody start a business in a day, and it die out at the end of the month. And you can have a lot of customers. Man, you could have a plethora of customers coming out the door, but if you don't know how to manage, you're going down in smoke and in flames. It's about managing. I'm saying to you, my friends, that your working out and my working out is not you sitting in your room and just doing nothing. It's about you actively and me actively pursuing God. It's me cultivating that soil. It's me managing my life. And in the end, it's not your spouse's fault. It's not your boyfriend and your girlfriend's fault. It's not your boss's fault. It's you having the responsibility as a child of God, and he says, this is your responsibility. You have to cultivate. You have to watch for thorns and weeds and the very things that choke the life of God from you. Do it. That's why Paul can say, I follow after in chapter 3. He says, I forget what's behind and I reach forth. He says, I press toward the mark. Don't tell me, show me. I had an older member in a church years ago that used to say these words and never forgot them. She said, just make me know it. Just make me know it. Don't tell me how much you love Jesus. Just make me know it. And that's why Paul talks about in Colossians 3, seek those things, set your affection, mortify. You do this. Put off all of these. Lie not to one another. You put on the new man. You put it on. You forbear. You forgive. You put on love. You put let the peace of God rule in your heart. You let the word of Christ rule in you richly. And whatever you do it in the name of the Lord. So verse 12 teaches our active participation. Clothe yourself in it. Stop putting all those filthy garments on. Man, kids get up in the morning, especially in boys. They can wear an outfit for 4 days. And they're like Lazarus. He stinketh. You got to change sometimes. Boys are worse than girls. It concerns me when a girl gets like that. But, boys are where we have a little more leniency. But there's a time you've got to make some changes. And the Christian, this is now, it's every day. I'm clothing myself with humility and meekness and patience and compassion and love and kindness. It's just clothing. I'm going to go to the closet. God, give me a good outfit of kindness today. Compassion. I want to know that. Clothe yourself, and that's you. But this is how we're going to end this thing. Notice what else he says. I want you to work this out. That's obedience. You working it out. Why? Now, there's God's role in this saying. There's God's role in us becoming holy. There are those who would have us only see God's role in it, that God is doing everything. And there are those who go to the extreme that it's only man doing everything. But Paul presents a balance. And now, my friends, sanctification, this process of making, being holy, of us becoming holy, doesn't bring glory to man. Sanctification is an aspect of salvation, and all the aspects of salvation always bring glory to God. No aspect of salvation brings glory to man. But just in case, there are those who say, I really worked it out, Paul. I worked hard this week. I did so good. And then he says that first word in verse 13, 4. Oh, you're getting a little big head, are you? Think you're doing something. You feel good about your growth as a Christian. He says, because. You know why this is going on? The four is there for a reason. It's because. Here's the reason. You remember you asked your mama and daddy, why are we doing that? What'd they say? Because. Because I said so. Why do I have to do that? You'll ask them once, maybe. But that's all they'll give you is one chance. Usually if you had a mom like some of y'all when you grew up, how many times you have to ask your daddy? Yeah, you only had to do it once. And you probably didn't have to ask. You just look at him. It's just daddy just look at you. You know. There's just a message coming through his eyes, you know, what you need to do. But Paul says, listen, lest you get a big head and think it's all about you. He says, you know why things are happening in your life? You see these great changes, these desires, these intentions for God coming up in your life? Because. Always a because. Always a because. He says, because God's behind the scenes. That's why. He provides the ground for Paul's exhortation to work out this salvation, that they can carry it out, their salvation. Do you know what's going on? When you are working every day to pursue God, you are carrying out to its your salvation to its ultimate conclusion. And you know what that is? To be like Jesus Christ. When you get up and you pursue and you discipline yourself and you are spending time with God and you're knowing God in this intimate way, you are coming to the ultimate conclusion of what God saved you for, and that is to make glorious good news to the world about Him, and that you are reflecting Jesus. So you think like Jesus, you act like Jesus, you do what Jesus does. There's a love like Jesus, there's a patience like Jesus, and a meekness like Jesus. All of that, a goodness, a grace of Jesus, it's all in you. What is happening when you're working out, God is working in, and things are beginning to take place, and you're seeing fruit in your life. This is where it's going. When you get up in the morning and you work hard, it's going somewhere. It's going to be like Jesus. Our work is like being in a mine or in a field. We bring out the best of the crop and we bring out the best of the ore. It is God. You know why this is happening? Because it is God. It is God who works. Now, that'll preach just on his own. It is God. What a beautiful phrase that is. For it is God who works. You may say, well, I don't see much of it in my life. I see it in my neighbor's life. How much are you pursuing? Because I'm telling you, God wants to work if you're a genuine believer. He wants to work in your life. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him do what he only can do. Only God can get credit for some of the things that took place in my life. And I've worked in my life too. And only I can get credit for some of the mess ups and the things I've done. God could never do something like that. It's only me. That's me. But God is at work. He calls us and then he empowers us. Calls us to obey and empowers us to obey. Calls us to service and empowers us to service. God is always working. He's in control. What is enabling you to be holy? What is enabling you to persevere and to be unified and to suffer under hardship? It is God working. And he's not working every once in a while. He is constantly working. God has always worked in the past. He continues to work in the present. He will always work in the future. Proverbs says the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The mind of a man plans his way, and out of the Lord directs his steps. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I don't understand the mystery of God's sovereign power and man's responsibility, but I acknowledge both. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied to leave it there because I don't want to make more of man than what I should, and I don't want to make less of God than what I should. Don't try to get it all together. If you're an over-analytical person, and I tend to be, I just have to stop and say, it's going to drive me nuts. Can't do it. You can't bring it together. Just receive what is there and do what God says to do. Do you remember, you look in the Bible, and this is what your challenge is this Wednesday. Mike doesn't even know the challenges yet, but this is what he's going to challenge you to do, even though he doesn't know the challenges. We're going to challenge you to look through the Scriptures and find ways that God is at work. All right, we're going to find in the Old Testament, New Testament, but I'll find ways. Do you remember when Abraham dwelt in a place called Gerar, and Abraham told his wife Sarah to tell everyone that he's his what? Sister, yeah. So tell everyone, lest I don't get killed for you, you know. Real stand-up guy here. Abimelech, the king of Gerar, took Sarah. Before becoming intimate with her, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And Abimelech in a dream. And he told him that he was a dead man because of the woman he's with. Because she had a husband. Now, I want to just listen to this word. I want you to see how God is at work. Just listen. And it's out of Genesis 20. And it says this. Now, Abimelech had not approached her, Sarah. So he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Listen to what God said. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart. And it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Don't tell me God's not at work. God is working. And he's always working. And he's still working. And I'm saying when God works, you be ready. You be ready for might. And you be ready for power. And you be ready for the unexplainable. You be ready for the incomprehensible. When God works, it's always spectacular. But it may be quiet at times. But it's always spectacular. From when God sends assurance to your heart, it's spectacular. Though it may be quiet. When God sends provision for your life, spectacular, though maybe quiet. When God sends comfort to your soul, spectacular, but yet quiet. When God sends healing for your brokenness, when God sends company for your loneliness, when God sends rest for your weariness, when God sends relief for your irritability, when God sends praise for your unthankfulness, that is God working. And he's always working. Even when I can't see him, he's working. Even when I can't feel him, he's working. He never stops. He never stops, the song says. Awaken yourself to the reality of a God who is constantly working right now, even as you sit here. He has not stopped. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. Expect the great. Expect the miracles. Expect the incomprehensible. Look for God to work in your life. Stop sitting still. He has not designed us to sit still at whatever age you may be. It's about obedience. And it's God moving and God shaking. Ask yourself this question. Why am I what I am? Why am I interested in being godly? Why am I interested in spiritual matters? Why am I not like so many people? They're perfectly honest. They're decent people. They even, in some sense, good people. But they're just not interested. Why am I interested? Why am I not one of the unconcerned? I mean, you mention this to people, spiritual matters to people, they're kind to you and they just dismiss it and they go on. What has made the difference? It is something that has happened to you to make you face yourself in your life like this. Something has happened to you to make you face yourself in your life like this. It is God working. He pulled you up and he started making you think about your life. And he started making you ask questions. And he started giving certain views and asking questions about certain views of yourself and your life. God's at work. And then it was God who convicted you of your sin. And then it was God who made you alive. He resurrected you. And it was God who gave you the gift of life. And guess what? He's continuing to do so. You see, the place of God's work is all over his creation. But you know what? A place of God's work is right in you. What, He doesn't say anything about working in creation. We know this to be true. But God is at work where? Scripture says, in you. He tells the church, I want you to pursue holiness. Do you know why? Because it's God underneath the surface bubbling up these desires for holiness. And God is at work in you, not outside of you. I don't know. We get excited about the fact, we can amen the fact that God is at work. God is at work. Amen. Oh, but wait a minute. Let's go a little step further. God's at work in you. Those times when you want to sit and be alone with God, not just because you've had a rough day. You just want to be with God. You want to know God. You want to know His power. When's the last time you wanted to sit with God and just know His power? When's the last time you just sat and wept before God? When's the last time you just sat and were still before God? You didn't even say anything to God. You just had His word and you bent by a chair and you just rested and you just thought and you let God just flood your mind. And he brought up views about yourself. He brought up views about the world. And He's correcting all of that garbage in your mind. He's cleaning. He's pursuing you. He's purifying you. He's washing you. And you're just sitting before God. That's all you're doing. You're just sitting. When's the last time you pursued Him like that? There's got to be changes in my life, in your life, and it begins with the changes in your relationships and your habits of what time you get up, what time you go to bed. All of that matters because we're sinners and we live in a wearied body. If I get up at 4 in the morning, I'm telling you now, and my wife knows it, if my head even dares come near a pillow, it's it. It's over. I could stand here and fall asleep leaning against this podium. I am saying this to you, that if you want it, go get it. Stop saying this hurts, that's the problem, oh, this is going on. It's always going to be like that. It's always going, you're going to have something come up in your life that is going to try to, well, when this works its way out, it's not going to work its way out. If it works its way out, something else is going to, you say, well, you're depressing. I'm not depressing. I'm realist, remember? I want this church to know the power of God. You tell me what kind of singing is going to take place in this place when people pursue God this week. You'll be right here because you want to hear it all. Maybe that's extreme to say you might go on the front seat as Baptist. But it could happen. It could happen, right? And so this is what I'm saying to you. Don't leave God out of the factor. I want you to thank Him and praise Him today. Because any inkling of holiness and godliness and righteousness that you have and I have in my brain and in my desire wheel, it's because God raised it up in me. It's not even something I suppressed. God brought it to life in me. I didn't have it in me. I didn't have a desire to be kind or merciful. It's a lot easier to be mean to people. It's a lot easier to be to talk ugly to people. It's a lot easier to gossip. But when I don't want to do those things, you better step back and watch the power of God. He's moving. You better know, if I want to be kind to somebody, that's God working. And I've seen some of you. If you're kind to somebody, say, God must be working in that person's life. I've seen it. See what God wants for your life? He wants to work. Pursue Him today. Watch your life change before His very eyes. Tired of the same ordinary? You ought to be if you're a genuine Christian. ought to drive you nuts that you're not closer to God. And this is not a guilt trip. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I want you to know God's working in your life today. If you would like to know how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never had one, you've never submitted, I want to talk with you. I want to show you how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because these things are so foreign, it's like me speaking another language to you. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But you knew, understand that the Bible says you're in a need for Jesus. You're lost and condemned, and you deserve to be punished for your sin, and only Jesus can take that punishment and has done so. So if that is your desire, I beg of you to see me after the service.